You are listening to the Cocoa Blend Podcast. Our podcast aims to shatter the misconception that Black parents cannot co-parent without drama. A podcast for moms of faith who are tired of unnecessary conflicts, seeking a positive shift, and eager to embrace harmonious co-parenting in their blended family. In other words, moms who just want to co-parent without the drama. I am your host, Jamie Newton Knight, motherhood mastery mentor and co-parenting coach. Join us as we navigate through insightful conversations and empowering stories, redefining the norms and celebrating the strength of united co-parenting in the Black community. So turn on that GPS and let's navigate the blend. Hello, hello, and welcome back. We have yet another amazing episode with another amazing guest, Miss Tanisha Oh.
Hey.
Hey, Tanisha. Hey. Listen, I have followed Tanisha. Tanisha has followed me. We've been on this blended journey for quite some time. So I'm just excited to have her share her story. And I'm going to let her introduce herself, and then we're going to dig into her story. So, Tanisha, go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hey, y'all. I am excited about this blended family conversation. I love it. My children are fifth generation blended family. Like, we always talk about what generations we are, but we don't think about how deep our blended family roots go. You know what I mean? And how we just keep attracting and creating that thing. And so welcome to me. Welcome to all of you. I'm excited to be here and to talk about blended families.
I'm so excited to have you here. We've been a part of the same communities for so long. And then we've been in the same circles. We've talked separately from all of that. So it's just great to have you on as a guest so you can share your story. So first I want to talk about your family unit. You described it as we're co-parenting, but we don't do things together. You want to talk about a little bit about that?
Well, one time we did something together, girl, listen, I thought it was going to be this great idea that I invited my, I don't use the word step, you'll hear me say younger son throughout, so I'm talking about my youngest son, and so I decided to invite his biological mother on a trip with my husband and myself. My husband did not find that funny at all, but I thought, what a great way to show her how we are parenting him, because my husband has custody of my youngest son, so he lives with us. I was like, I thought it was great, but my mind, it went over much better than it did in real life to my husband. And so she came and it turned out fine. But my husband was like, you bet not never. And for the rest of your life, pull no nonsense shenanigans. Because I invited her and then told him, oh, by the way, I invited her to come. He didn't think that was funny at all. So no, we don't do anything together. I'm cordial, you know, but no, we don't spend time together. That doesn't work.
He said, no, thank you. Next time, run that by me first. Please, man.
Matter of fact, he didn't even say run it by me. He was like, the next time you get this genius thought, just erase it. Like, cancel it.
The fact that you were like, it went over really well in my head, just didn't play out so well when we were all together. Who knew? Listen, it honestly all depends on who you're dealing with, what level and stage of the process they're at. Because we know both of us are in blended families. We know it's a process, and it depending on where they are in their journey, that can determine how well a situation goes or not.
Yes. I won't try that again, but it's a good story. You know, like, we do these random things that make for really good stories, but when you're living in it in real time with your husband, no, I won't do that again.
Right. The unique thing about your situation is that you are a bonus mom, but you're also a bio mom. You have your own children.
Yep. I gave birth to two children, and then I have my youngest baby boy. Absolutely. Yes.
That's right. So you get to see what it's like on both spectrums. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, I'm the bio mom in this situation, but I'm also the bonus mom, and I get to see like how things play out.
And you know, the interesting thing is because of the way my husband and I were very intentional in our blended family, all three children are treated the same. If you met my three children, I wouldn't tell you this is my stepson. I would just say, these are my three kids. And people who don't know me, they just think I have three kids. Like, some people, even to today, are like, I didn't know. That's because you weren't supposed to know. I never wanted my younger son to feel like he was less than or anything other than a loved, appreciated, welcomed being in my life, a child in my life. And so I treat them all the same. They all get the same. And my daughter actually will say that my younger son takes a lot more of my habits even than her and my middle son, which are the two I gave birth to. So we all get the love. I just spread it all out.
Yeah, if you I followed your journey for so long that I've seen him grow up, and I'm like, yeah, that's your baby for sure. That's like, yes, when he has all of his special moments, you're like, my baby is doing this thing, or my baby's. I'm like, oh my goodness, he grew up so fast. It felt like yesterday when he was like a little guy, and now
deep voice. I know.
Now you have this grown man, other grown man in your house. Okay.
Precious. I love him. Yes, I love him. He's still old enough but young enough in his teenage years where he still entertains me in my shenanigans. You know, like, I don't know how much longer he will be okay with it. But now he's still like entertained by my nonsense. Like, she's corny enough. You know, and I'm going to take it. Take it as long as he
accepts. As long as we can. We take it as long as we, every little moment, right? Because after a while they're like, okay, mom, that's enough.
That's enough. I didn't have enough of you and your nonsense. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you, I had a question that said, during the process of your co-parenting or blending journey, you struggled with what the most? And you were able to get through it by doing what?
So boundaries. Boundaries was the thing that I struggled with the most. And I'll elaborate in a minute. And I got through it by forgiving myself. And looking at myself to recognize no woman gives birth to a child with the expectation that she's going to have to share this child with another woman, right? Like, you understand that things may not work out between you and the father, maybe, because that's just how life goes, but you never think that you're going to have to knock on another woman's door in order to see your child. You never think that you're going to have to call or text a woman to say, hey, can I see so-and-so this weekend? And that's her story. So for her, boundaries had to become very clear. For me, understanding the boundaries of, like, this woman is struggling with the fact that she doesn't have custody of her child anymore. And that's just not easy. And also setting up very clear boundaries and perimeters within my household to let her know, like, this is my house and this is how it works, right? And since you haven't quite recognized that my man ain't your man, he never was your man, y'all weren't even boyfriend and girlfriend, I don't care how many kids you have, you will not run my house and you're not gonna call my man's phone 15 times. You can't just so boundaries was a big thing. And it got to a point where my husband, well, there was a restraining order involved. We won't even go into that. But I became the point of contact. And once the restraining order was over, my husband was so happy with the peace that he had over the past year. He just left it in place up until today. Like, till today, I am still the point of contact. Do not text his phone because he's not going to answer you. He's made it clear, whatever issue you have with my wife, you're going to have to get over it, because she's the only person that's going to communicate with you with whatever you need. She does a much better job. It keeps the peace in our household. So boundaries has really been a big thing, and us establishing our own and recognizing, you know, whatever boundaries she may or may not have.
Yeah, that's really good. The way you worded it to me was like boundaries, and you no longer judged her for being who you thought she should be. I thought that was so profound. And I was like, I wonder if the fact that you are a bio mom too allowed you to have that type of grace. Because I don't know that everybody would have that type of grace, especially when it's somebody that's continuing to jump on the boundaries. This is a boundary, they jump over the line. They see it again in red and they go around the corner. Like,
yes, that was, I really, 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 it was because of my own forgiveness journey, the work that I have done for myself, not for her, for myself as a mother and in my relationship with women, right? Because a lot of times when anytime you hear a woman say, I don't get along with women, that just tells me you don't like yourself, period. But that's probably for a different talk show. But the truth is, you're a woman, and when you say I don't like women, that just means you don't like yourself, because you're a woman. I love women, I love people, I love myself. And so I really had to forgive her, because what society and what my mind told me she was supposed to be doing for her child, nurturing, taking care of him, providing for him, She wasn't doing any of that. It was all left up to me. You know, like she bring over a bag of Doritos and like that wasn't okay to me, right? But that became my responsibility. But when I finally said, listen, she's doing her best, even though her best is crushing and just tearing her son up, I'm going to just stay in my lane and keep doing what I'm supposed to do to provide, to nurture, and be who I need to be for him and stop judging her for what she is or isn't doing. And I've done a great job of coaching the two of them. I've done my very best. Maybe it wasn't a great job. It might have been really crappy, honestly, Jamie. But in my brain, I did a great job of trying to bring her and her son together regularly to communicate, to coach the two of them together, to help restore, because I know that if he doesn't heal that those mommy issues play into something else in adulthood and in his manhood. And so I've done the best that I knew how, but it really started with me forgiving myself first and just releasing my attachment and my judgment of her. And it's constant. Please don't make it seem like I've arrived. I have not. I probably every other day find myself like, okay, all right. And not literally every other day, but when things come up, when situations arise, you know, and the excuses come as to why she can't fill in the blank, whatever that is, then I just keep bringing myself back to, all right, okay.
Yeah, God placed you in his life for a reason, like to stand in the gap, not only for communication purposes, mm-hmm. but just to be that support when, you know, she's unable to be. And the fact that you can do it, and like you said, I know that it's not always easy, and I know that it may not always be graceful, but you're doing it. You're there. You're doing it. And he may still have those issues in regards to his mom, but like you're like, I want him to be the best man that he can be. Let's step out of ourselves, our own desires, our own feelings, because we can get our own feelings in it. And I'm focusing on this young man and who he's going to become.
It's so good, Jamie, because if you really think about it, it's one thing when we're giving, doing, being a certain way, and there's a level of appreciation for it. It's a completely different thing when you're giving, doing, and being, and you have a child who probably in the back of his mind is like, look, I didn't ask you to do this anyway, because he's a child and he hasn't even come to recognize what he's missing out on if I wasn't there, right? And right. Then you have the woman who doesn't appreciate anything you're doing because she's like, I didn't ask you to do it. And if it doesn't get done, oh, well, you know, like, and so you give so much and you're like, my God, and you're not appreciated. And, you know, what do you do in that time? You just do the right thing. Right. You stay consistent. And that's why it's so important for us, for me to know who I am so that I remain who I'm supposed to be, regardless of what's happening. Because child, I would have gave up a long time ago. Any other, I would have been like, listen, y'all could figure this thing out. I'm good. I'm gonna work on these two other grown folks, you know, because my biological children are 28 and 27. They grown, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm still going to PTA meetings. Come on now, let's, you know, I could be doing something else right now. But that's not how God had it. And so I love having him be a part of my life. But really getting to my own stuff, that was the biggest part. That I think I know that that was the key to the success in a blended family, like just accepting people for exactly how they are and who they are.
Yeah. Do you think that the fact that do you feel like this blended situation, your co-parenting situation, led you on the journey to forgiveness? Because you have this whole movement.
Yeah, no.
Do you feel like that led you on that? Or do you feel like I knew I had to do that anyway.
Yeah.
And this just jumped along for the ride.
It did just jump along for the ride. Like, honestly, just like I said before, the blended family piece, because my children are fifth generation blended family, it felt a lot more natural because I was in a blended family. I guess the difference is my mother was not a stepmother. So I didn't grow up in a blended family. To the degree that my mother married a man who already had kids and I had stepbrothers and sisters, I didn't have that. My mother, it was always a step. I had a stepfather. Those men never had children and my mother had children, but these were my brother and sisters. You know what I mean? So like, I didn't grow up in somebody else has a different mom and dad than me, and I have a different mom and dad, and we rotate weekends. That wasn't familiar to me. So no, my journey for the forgiveness work that I do, it does stem from motherhood, but not stepmotherhood. It was because of my mother's not being truthful with me about who my father was, right? And so it led me to this forgiveness journey. Now, while on that journey in healing my motherhood wounds and things of that nature, stepmotherhood definitely came in to play. And so it helped, but it just joined on, child. It didn't even start with her. She was just lucky that it happened at the time. Because if I wasn't on that journey of forgiveness and healing, honestly, I don't know that you and I would be having this conversation the same way. Probably not. I ain't gonna hold you. Probably not.
Probably not. What's one thing you feel like you learned on this journey? Like the major thing you learned on the journey of co-parenting and blended families?
That my way is not the only way. That was like, because I was a teenage mother, a single teenage mother with my older two children, their dad, they have the same dad, but their dad wasn't helpful. Entering into a blended family was quite an adjustment because in my world, I was the voice. I wasn't the mom and the dad because they had a dad, but I was the authoritarian who made all parental decisions. And so to get married and now I'm entering into something where there is another human being, which happened to be my husband, and there's a third party human being who wants to run the show, and you don't even pay bills. Like, you don't, how did you even earn a vote? You know, like, my brain, Jamie, I ain't gonna lie, my brain couldn't understand, like, who's talking to you? This child is on my medical insurance. You know, like, my brain, and I know some folks.
Put your hand down. You don't get a vote. Put your hand down.
Girl, all you did was carry the child for 9 months. Sit down. You're only bringing Doritos to this house. You're not even in real life. Like, real life. I'm being funny if I'm saying Doritos, but like in real life, you just bringing Doritos. No, ma'am. You don't get the vote. But Tanisha, that's not how this works. These are the conversations that I'm now having with myself. Like, T, you can't do that. You can't tell the lady to sit down because it's her child. And she's going to tell you it's her child. So then I want to ask questions like, well, explain to me what you do in your day-to-day life that gives you the right to tell me that this is your child. Let's just talk about the past week. What have you done? And even though she doesn't have anything to say, it's still her child. I had to get that together, child. It took me a minute, but we've gotten there.
That sounds like a hard thing to get together.
It is. It is, because the power had to be brought back to me. I was giving her the power. I was waiting for her to change. I was waiting for her to grow. I was waiting for her to do more. And I'm the only person upset. She's happy with her decisions. And if she's not changing them, that ain't my business. Like, her relationship with her child is not my business. That's my business. My relationship with him is my business. And so when I stopped minding her business and I just redirected my attention to Tanisha, what are you doing? Like, stop judging her. She's doing what she's doing, whether it's her best or her worst. It ain't your business.
Right.
And that was tough because I had to be accountable for me.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big one. I hope that people are taking away that nugget. That is so huge of like, yes, she was doing this thing. And yes, she is in this family. But I was like, listen, This is our household and you ain't running things over here, but that's his mom. I have to, I'm a bio mom, and that sounds like a hard thing to step into, honestly.
It is. It's a hard gift to even give to our children's father. And we have a direct link to that person completely. You know what I mean? For period, like forever, this right. person. And now we talk about this other person, and then making sure my youngest son understood something. And it was hard. My husband used to say, you shouldn't say that. I was like, no, I'm just going to tell him the truth. Listen, your mother did not invite me into this situation. Your father did. Yeah. Your mother didn't want me to be in this situation. Your father did. Your mother is not my friend. She's your mother. She's your family member, but she's not my friend. And she's not your father's friend just because she's your mother. And that's a hard thing, because in a child's mind, they're trying to figure out, like, how come people aren't being friendly? Why aren't they friends? And I'm not going to pretend. My husband's definitely not going to pretend. We're not even going to hold you and act like we're skipping through the park. We were absent. If God was passing that out, we were absent on that day. And so we don't do that, Jamie. Like, we're not doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to give you my all. However, know that we're not friends. So if we don't seem friendly, that's why. Our responsibility is to you. My job is to love you. You were the package deal. When I married my husband, you came with the deal. I didn't marry my husband and say that she came with the deal. She ain't got to do with me, like nothing to do with me, right? And that's the part that I needed him to really understand. My children's father was not part of the package deal when I married my husband. My children were. My mama wasn't even part of the package deal. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's an extra, you know, and I love my mama. But we have to separate those two. But too often in blended families, the expectation of a man or a woman is that you're supposed to take the mom and how. No. And I know that my things work, Jamie, because my husband was very firm on the boundaries. He was very clear. This is my wife, period. End of story. This is our household, and this is how things are going to go. He never asked, how do you feel about it? He didn't care. This is how it's going to work when it comes to my house.
Right.
My wife handles these things in our household. And part of what she handles is the communication with you. Communication with my youngest son's mother has always been my responsibility, especially since the restraining order. It never changed.
I feel like it wasn't like, oh, I just never wanted to deal with her. I feel like you tried and you attempted to have that space of like, let's figure this out as adults for this child. And you were just met with a lot of resistance to the point where it was like, okay, girl, I tried. And I didn't try a little bit. I tried a lot. And you just keep throwing monkey wrenches in this thing. Yeah. So let's just handle it this way.
So for years, and she would agree. If she was here right now, she wouldn't even disagree with you or me. She wouldn't be like, girl, no, I didn't. No, she would say yes. I have so many text messages from her where she's like, just thank you. Thank you for the grace. You know, like my younger son always told her, listen, it's not mom. He calls me mom. He calls her mommy. He always says, it's not mom who says no. That's dad. You should thank mom. Because if it wasn't for her, the answer would always be no. My husband's no is strong. Child, he gonna say no before you finish with whatever you... No. Can she... I didn't even finish. It doesn't matter. You know, like he's very firm in where he is. He's like, he's consistent. And it's always been me because I am a bio mom. I understand a mother's love. I understand how heartbreak can cause you to make some really dysfunctional decisions that you will regret later. I understand all those things. And so I kept coming with grace because that's the same grace that I want. I want to receive grace when I'm hurt and I'm heartbroken and I'm not making very responsible decisions, right? But in my mind, it seems good. And she's told me that she makes these decisions because everybody tells her that's what she should do, even though she knows that's not what she should do. I understand it. I really do. And also, I'm tired. So I put in my letter of resignation and told her, moving forward, whatever you got going on with your son, I'm not helping y'all no more. Y'all are on your own. I have given years of tools and things to support you and to support both of you all. What you all get to do with that moving forward is up to you. And so I stepped back. And now that I've stepped back, things have gotten further apart, but they'll work it out. I'm at peace.
I hear that. So we talked about your story in bits and pieces. Share your story, and it's in like how you met and how it all started. And I'm gonna mute myself so you could just share your story and
how I met my husband.
Yeah, how you met, the whole blend of how it all came to be, all of that.
Oh yeah, okay, cool.
And how you got to the space of where you are now.
Okay. So I met my husband. We were working together. I don't know what year it was, but it was a long time ago. I'll just say that, right? It's been 15 or 16 years we've been together now. But we met at work, and he had this sweet little boy. And I'm gonna tell you something. I had decided every year my children got older, if I met somebody with kids, the age of that child got older. By the time I met my husband, I was at 10. Because my children were in middle school, so their children needed to be 10. I didn't feel like dealing with no little toddlers. Who's changing diapers? I'm not. Get somebody else to do it, right? And so I had this whole thing. So I meet this guy at work. We were both in real estate at the time. And he and I begin dating. And he has this little son, cute little kid. He was in his terrible twos, so you know how he was acting, cutting a fool. But cute little boy. Well, we end up dating. We dated for almost 4 years before we got married. So we were very, very established in our relationship by the time we got married. But even when we got married, I did not know that my youngest son would end up living with us. I thought that he would just come visit us every other week like he had been doing with his daddy all that time. But child, I got married and now all of a sudden we in a custody battle and this precious little boy is now living in my home and we're figuring out life very different. And so I was the person who taught him how to read, how to ride a bike, tie his shoe, how to swim, everything that a mother does. And the beautiful thing is when he was younger and his biological mom used to say, "She's not your mama." He would always say, "Yes, she is. She taught me how to ride my bike and read," because these are the things that his friends at school were talking about their moms did with them. And so when he was able to compare what kids were saying their moms were doing, he was like, "This is the woman who's doing those things." I always wrote him a love note every day in his lunch pail to talk about how great he was. Like, these were the things that I was doing. And he had enough presence of mind to know she is my mom. And even when we were out, I remember one time when my son played college basketball, but high school basketball, some woman was like, "Oh, those are her two kids. And that one, that's her stepson." And the way I gave that lady the business, I was like, "Don't you ever treat my children differently. I didn't introduce him to you as my stepson. Therefore, you do not tell anybody that's my sister. That's my child." And from that day, he got to see firsthand, oh, we stick up for each other. That's how we do, right? And so that became a thing. And so we just kept navigating together, of course, attending all the things, just blending. And because of the restraining order and all of those things, it caused me to communicate more with his mom. And as I kept doing my healing work and going through this journey, I recognized she was hurting. How can I help her? What help would I want somebody to give me? And so I just began doing it. I was helping so many other women with this work. Let me help her. When I wrote my first book, Empowered Stepmother, she wrote the foreword to it, you know, thanking me for what I had done in her life. And although her actions don't show the true appreciation, she's actually very grateful. And I know that she's doing her best that she knows how with showing her appreciation. Luckily, my confidence is not built on what she does. It's my responsibility to be confident. And so in this blended family journey, the number one thing that I've learned is my accountability. And so I've just been accountable and just loving the journey. And we just keep going from there. And that's really our story.
I love that, Tanisha. I love, love, love how you're like, "I can't be responsible for anybody else. I can only be responsible for me." That's how it. I react, you know, how I engage, mm-hmm. all of it, how I heal, mm-hmm. all of it. All of that's my responsibility. I'm not going to let your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings, how you think you want this thing to go determine mm-hmm. the outcome, because it's, I love that. I think that's something that all people in blended families have to like drill into themselves. It's like, sometimes it don't look nice. Sometimes it doesn't feel great. But you don't have to always engage. Mm-hmm. Remember that the only person you can control is you. Understand that, stand in your space and walk confidently in that space.
That's it. That's it. Own it.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that the peace and the confidence in my home that has come beyond myself was my husband and his voice in the situation. Most blended families, this is me, I'm not an expert. I haven't taken any polls on what it is I'm going to say, but just the various conversations that I've had, if the man has biological children, not just the woman, the peace has come in the home when there is a man who is willing to stand on all 10 of his toes to put his foot down as to how his household is going to go. Most chaos ensues when there's a man who refuses to put his foot down or speak up or stand up confidently about what's going to happen in the house. And if they leave the wife to be the person to speak up, and she's always made to be the villain or the bad person, and the husband just kind of wants to let it fly, it doesn't work. It's usually complete chaos. But when there is a husband who's like, hey, let me tell you how this is going to go. This is what's going to happen. Blank, blank, blank. And he doesn't play games. He's not trying to secretly do this and X out the wife, and he wants to spend separate time. Y'all had y'all doggone chance to be a freaking family. I'm trying to do my best on your show, Jay, because you know I like my vocabulary. You had your chance to be the family. It didn't work. Right. So what you're not going to do is practice on my time to be no separate family. No. My husband didn't even try it because he knew what wife he got. But for the people who do have that, no. Well, the kids need to see us together. Then y'all should have worked that out while y'all was supposed to be together. But what we're not going to do is pretend. No. And if we are going to do this, then all of us are going to do
it. Yeah, why not all?
I'm coming. My kids coming. She can come. Her dude come. Like, it's going to be 25 of us. But what it won't be is the 6 of y'all.
Right.
And I got to sit at home. No. We ain't doing that.
Yeah. Listen, we could be on here all day long talking about that, especially from a bio mom's perspective. And then you sitting in the bonus mom seat, because I can see it in both ways. I definitely do not ever want, feel like that there should be some separate piece where it's like mom, dad, and child, let's go do lunch. Like, why? We already not together. We've been not together.
You were supposed to do lunch before you separated.
The child can see that type of healthy relationship with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
With
however
all
you present it. That's the thing. Like, we don't have to pretend. And when I hear people with these pretenses, that just tells me you pretend on so many other levels. Like, I can identify a whole bunch of other levels where you like to act like things are good when they're not. Kids do better with just truth. Just give them the truth.
Absolutely.
They'll work it out.
Absolutely. Just tell them the truth. Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, this resonates with me for sure as a mom, a bio mom, because I was in the space of like trying to communicate with my ex and it was just not working well. Mm-hmm. So the bonus mom was on her end. At the time, she was just his girlfriend. So she's like on her end thinking that I'm trying to act like or be a certain way. And I'm thinking on my end, like, oh, she's so bossy and she's always trying to like overstep. Like, I'm his mom. What is she doing? Mm-hmm. Girl, when I finally spoke to her, I was like, listen, from now on, I will call you. We will set up weekends. This is how this is going to go. Because it was so much less chaotic. Just like you said, if a man is not standing on all 10 toes,
yep,
saying this is how it's going to be, it's chaos. Because on one side, this side of his family is thinking, oh, you know, she's just trying to get back. And on this side, mm-hmm. it's like, why is he not doing whatever? Why is she doing it all? Like, why she keep overstepping? So when we spoke, it was like the clouds came up. I was like, girl, listen, from now on mm-hmm. weekends, we're going to communicate.
That's it. And it was because you were open to that, right? It's difficult when you have a woman who still wants to be with a man. And if you were the person, if that was your ex and you hadn't gotten over him, you know what I mean? And you felt like, oh, she's still in the life that I dreamed of. Then you're not as open. Like, listen, just take the kids, because I at this point I need a break. You know what I mean? Like, I want to enjoy my Friday night too. You know, right. Like, that's the maturity and the healed version of you. Not just maturity, it's both. Our maturity, growth, and the healed version of you allowed you to show up in such a a transparent space of like, child, I don't want your man, you good. I just right. want to figure out who gonna take the kids, who picking them
and
up,
on what, who picking them up, and on what day. It did yep. look very chaotic in the beginning, and it mm-hmm. was because of how our relationship ended, but it was a lot of like miscommunication and like mm-hmm. the constant promising of I'm picking him up on this day, and then I'm the one who's having to explain why you're not getting picked up on this day. And then, you know, as the mom, you feel like, oh, the girlfriend has something to do with that. And then on her end, she's like, oh, well, I thought your son was coming. Oh, she's preventing you from seeing it. Like, it's a whole
thing.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole.
And there's only one person in the middle, the man.
Right.
Imagine.
So that. I can't say that I was truly healed or mature in the space that we were when we were originally going through it, but I knew one thing for sure. I never wanted my son to feel like he had to pick a side or like he had to feel pulled in two different directions. I wanted him to be able to go over there and feel like when he would come home, he would be very like,
yeah,
you know, closed mouth. And I'm like, how did it go? And he's like, it went okay. And I'm like, we had to talk. He was really yeah. young. I'm like, if you had a good time, it's okay to say you had a good time. Mm-hmm. And then when I opened that up for him, he was like, he would come home and we had so much fun. We went to the so-and-so and we did this and we did that. But when they think that their bio mom or their mom is like uncomfortable, they're not going to tell you how much fun they had. They're not going to tell you they like the girl. They're not going to tell you none of that stuff. They're going to like make their mom feel validated pretty much.
Correct.
And that's too much of a responsibility for a child to be validating you. Put your little feelings aside, grown women panties on, and you validate that child and let them. That's what I never wanted. So I was like,
that's still a level of healing though, Jamie. Yeah. You had the presence of mind to know that.
Yeah.
Maybe you had stuff to work on, but child, I'm gonna give you some kudos. If I had some clappers, I'd be clapping and you still should pat yourself.
Oh, that's right. Where's your clappers?
Girl, they somewhere. they in there. You know I love my clappers. Like, I still think that you should give yourself a level of credit for that. Right? I think that my daughter's here with the dog. I think the dog is here. So
I'm surprised my dog is not jumping off. Listen, children and pets, this is real life. Okay.
Girl, real life. Because I heard you see him? My daughter just came in with the and he's so cute. If I could get him to slow down.
Right. No, when they first see you, they're super anxious.
He's
like, just pick me up. Like, what are you doing?
I can't even not focusing on me. He's too busy running in circles. I wish I could. Come here, Coco. Okay, Jill. Okay.
Just pick me up. Why are you not paying attention to me? What is wrong with this lady?
He's
today?
Still running in circles. You don't hear. Y'all probably can't hear the. Anyway, we back. You probably edit that part, or you just know that that's part of life.
That's part of life. I was surprised my dog did not jump around. He's actually laying down. He must be taking a nap, which is amazing. Because he does not, that. Not, he does what's the dog's name? Coco?
Coco.
Mm-hmm. He does Coco. What Coco does all the time.
I love him. I love him too much. But I'm really celebrating you a lot. Like, and I hope that this conversation just leads to people recognizing that we can't control what people will or won't do, only what we decide, right? Like, we decide our peace. We decide how we're going to be accepted based on how we accept ourselves. Amen. We decide. I decide.
So what's your one tip that you want to leave everyone with? Is that the one tip? Or do you have another one? You always dropping gems, so.
Thank you for that. I would say forgive yourself. Forgive yourself for your unmet expectations. Forgive yourself for the expectations that you had on others. Forgive yourself for what you expected people to do that you weren't willing to do for yourself. Forgive yourself for not speaking up. Forgive yourself for staying too long in situations. Mm-hmm. Just discover where your unhealed parts of you when it comes to self-forgiveness in your blended family are, and allow that healing to lead the way to the next place that you want to be in.
That's a word, because let me tell you something. Forgiveness is already hard, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You have to try to forgive people. Forgiving yourself,
girl,
That's a whole nother level of difficulty. It's like, I can forgive you, but I cannot, like, it's, you can say, I'll forgive myself. But unless you really start doing that work that you're working with women to do, Tanisha, like, it is, and I'm sure you see it with the people that you work with, it can be the most challenging thing
it is
that you encounter. Like I said, it's easy to forgive somebody else. It's so much harder when you sit with those raw pieces.
That you're forgiving someone else. I've come to find that most times you can only however you forgive yourself is the deepest level that you're capable of forgiving others. So you can pretend like you've forgiven them, but the truth is, the back of your mind, you keep beating yourself up because you know you shouldn't be, you shouldn't have, like, you're resenting the relationship, you're resenting the people, you find yourself distancing them because you don't trust people. You don't trust people because you don't trust yourself. You don't trust yourself to make the decisions to let your yay be yay, your nay be nay. Like, there are all these different things. And so the truth is, when we're able to really connect and master our own self-forgiveness, that then and only then are we able to gift that to other people. So when parents say things like, I love my children more than myself, no, you don't. No, you don't. It's impossible. You are loving them to the depth that you love yourself. And because of your lack of love for yourself is where you have this conditional love for your children. I love them as long as they're doing what I want them to do. And when they don't, I'm going to take that love away. I'm not going to give it so much. Like, we could really go into this, but the key and core is, love yourself, forgive yourself first, and every other relationship will blossom so beautifully because you've put yourself first. And so then the grace comes because you understand the grace that you need. You're actually willing to give it a little bit freely to others.
Wow. That's what a powerful way to end our conversation, to end this story, Tanisha. Thank you so much for being a guest. I am so grateful and appreciative. Please share with everyone how they can find you on social media.
Yes.
And what you have going on right now.
Oh, girl. So Instagram is probably the easiest way because I get to spell in my name. My mom got fancy. Facebook, y'all would be like, what was her name? I'm going to say, y'all, just forgiveness_lifestyle on IG. You'll find me, or my website, forgivenesslifestyle.com. I just published 35 books in 9 months. You might see a little library if you all are on video. Thank you. They're all on forgiveness, all aspects. And actually, 4 of those are on blended family conversations. So grab a book, join one of the Forgiveness Lifestyle tour stops. I'm excited to see you. Thank you.
That is so beautiful. Thank you, Tanisha. I'm going to have to have you in the Blended Black Family Reads group. Put in one of your books, or two of your, or three. Yay. You said 3 Blended Family books in there for one of the months. And you just go hard at telling these people how to get it done. I will be reaching back out to you again, okay?
Absolutely. You know where to find me, girl. You know where to
find me. Thank you so much again
for
being a guest. Everyone, look out for Tanisha online. She told you where to find her. Thank you for tuning in. See you next time.
See y'all.
Are you ready to retreat? Then get those passports ready. If you're a mom who's just completely overwhelmed from wearing all the hats, doing all the things, and being everything to everyone, then this is the retreat for you. Now's the time to release the supermom syndrome and practice some guiltless self-care. Join us Mother's Day weekend, May 10th through the 13th, for the Motherhood Mastery Rest Retreat. Go to thecocoblend.com/momsretreat for more details.
Wow. Oh my goodness. Did you guys really love that episode from Tanisha O? I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I did, but I definitely cannot say goodbye without praying first. So Father God, thank you so much for my guest, Tanisha O. I just want to spread an abundance of love all over her and her family. I know that they have done a great job at setting boundaries for their blended family. And I ask that you just continue to impart healing along this journey, God, because we all need it, but not only healing, to continue to give grace for all of the people involved, to give each other grace. I ask that you do this in your son's mighty name. Amen. Amen. See you guys next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Cocoa Blend Podcast. See you next time.